Blog
hey,
Talk Radio.
You guys.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I said quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point.
Welcome to Dez's first solo ride. Oh my gosh, running 30 seconds behind because I'm already learning as I go and having some technical difficulties. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. Let me know if you can't here in the chat room. It is logged in, ready to go. You can join us here calling in at 773-897-6437. Or join us online. The chat room is open and I'm going to keep half an eye on that as we go. If you've got any questions, any commentary, fire it off there in the room and we will definitely give her. So money, this week's subject. Who hasn't had issues with money? You know, it's so interesting. This subject just is, oh, it's juicy goodness. It is such juicy goodness to me because there is so much stuff tied up in money. Like so much. I don't know anybody actually, and maybe that's part of my issue at the moment, but I don't know anybody who has had a completely healthy, relaxed, abundant relationship with money. I have had so many personal experiences of having none and then having lots, but not really being able to hang on to it, having a lot of debt. So I had a lot of income coming in, but I was supporting a whole ton of debt with that. And then, you know, lately more moving into this idea of living within my means and what does that look like? And that kind of feels limited. And that's like, so I'm just really excited for this episode because we're really going to get serious about what's happening. Really give ourselves an opportunity to get real and to maybe explore a little bit some of the beliefs that are around that and, yeah, just go from there. So, first of all, I really want to talk about my own story with money and some of the things that are going on with that. I grew up super poor, so I'd mentioned this before in past episodes, and it really created a money story in me that there was never enough and, you know, that whole mo money, mo problems. So I really started to develop this, on the one hand, this dichotomy, because on the one hand, I really wanted an abundance of money. I wanted to feel the freedom of being able to go where I want to go and do what I want to do and explore the things I want to explore. And, you know, and that was, I wanted that, although I also felt like that was selfish and that if I actually had enough money to do all of those things, I would regret it. You know, the old careful what you wish for because you might regret it thing. And, well, if you have a lot of money, you're going to have a lot of problems that go with all of that money. And so as a result of this seriously deep-seated belief system, I've always had this real struggle with money because it's been such an interesting relationship. I either didn't have any or I believed I had to work really, really hard for it. So when I first got married, my husband and I, we were both working three jobs trying to support our household. It was just the two of us at that time. We even had a roommate helping us carry the mortgage. It was just this little duplex in this little small town. And it took three jobs to pay the bills. But we were also really, really wanting a lot of stuff. And we bought a lot on credit. And it was like this mentality of, well, that's okay. I can afford it. It's just X amount a month, to the point where it got to where, oh my gosh, like we really can't afford this. If one of us is sick one day and we miss a day's work, like we're screwed this month. And all of that really stemmed from this these money stories that we had talked about in our head that we'd grown up with. It's subconscious. It's just sort of like, you know, the old saying that a fish is the last to know that it's in water. Well, our money stories, we're like the last to realize we have them until we really get serious about looking at our situation and looking at our life and deciding that we want more than what we have, or that we're tired of having all the debt that we have, because it doesn't feel free. Like, it doesn't feel free to be in debt, $30,000, $40,000, $60,000, whatever, thousands of dollars of unsecured credit debt or loan debt. Like, it's, you know, especially when it doesn't even have, you know, like a mortgage, at least in theory, you could sell your house and pay off the mortgage and possibly even have a little bit extra. So in a way, you know, that kind of debt is a little bit different for me, at least as part of my money story, as opposed to the kind of debt that's credit card debt and I have nothing to show for it. I have, you know, there's nothing that I could sell to recoup to pay back that debt. And the interest rate is like you're always going backwards. And so I've really been getting curious about my own money story lately, because I believe that each of us has a purpose here, and we each have something really beautiful inside us that's meant to shine. And the reality is that we live in a paradigm right now that needs money. It requires money in order to travel, in order to buy food, in order to provide clothing and shelter, and to buy experiences. Now, you bet there are so many free things out there, like you can sit outside at a park for free, assuming you can walk there, you know, because otherwise you've got to have a bike, or you've got to have a car, or you've got to have a bus fare at least, and in a, living in a town that has public transportation. So it becomes really quick, or it becomes really obvious quickly that there is no escaping money at the moment. There isn't. It's part of our paradigm, whether we want it or not, whether we believe in it or not. It's there. So lately, I've been really playing with this idea of, okay, so it's a symbol for value. That's really what money is. It's like a bridge between my value or my expression of gratitude for something and the thing itself, or the service itself, or the experience itself. And just like words can describe something, they act as a bridge between me and you as I try to share this sort of fuzzy concept. I'm using words to describe it, and words can either confuse things or they can make them clearer, but the words themselves are never actually the thing. I'm just describing it. And money is sort of the same thing. It's not the thing, it's describing the value. And something that popped into my head this morning, and like this inspired moment of half asleepness, was money has historically been used as a symbol for value. But we've really, you know, as a result of the Industrial Revolution. So we had this, for anyone who's not familiar with the Industrial Revolution, I'm not going to go into it too deep, but basically, in a really, really succinct nutshell, it was, hey, let's take resources that are free or cheap right now, and we're going to automate it, we're going to grow it, we're going to create profit, because it's like I buy something for 5 cents and I share it for 10, or I sell it for 10, and that's the profit margin. But the mentality behind this whole concept was, I'm going to like really maximize my profits at the expense of the planet, at the expense of my employees, at the expense of the air quality, of any, like it was all profit driven without a really healthy why. So it's like, I just want profits, profit, profits. We're going to grow, grow, grow. We're going to create, create, create. And that energy, I mean, the energy of creation is beautiful. It is what we're made from. But if we take that beautiful energy and we choose to shrink it into a shitty what, you know, or a shitty why. Well, it's just for my own edification. It's just for my own pleasure and my maximum income. Outside of, like, who needs billions of dollars? Like, what do you need billions of dollars for? You don't. But you do need a minimum for food, clothing, shelter. And we all deserve to have some extra for play. We all deserve to have some extra for adventures and to feel that sense of freedom. So my thinking on this is to bring money and shift the polarity of it. So right now, predominantly, we're still kind of stuck in this, what I'm going to call Industrial Revolution mindset, and that we've charged the symbol of money with a negative connotation and with, well, you know, we pay you to suffer. We pay you to get through this crappy day. We, you know, we're taking from the earth way more than she can actually sustainably give. And we're converting that into creating a false sense of need amongst people, a fake sense of emptiness. And that gap that that creates, we're going to create a profit as a result of selling what people don't need to them based on a false sense of need. Because there is a real need. I mean, we really are hungry. We really do need shelter. We really do need clothing. We really do need opportunities to create. Those are real needs. But we don't need a trillion different pairs of jeans. We don't need 100,000 storied glass buildings whose only job is to house little cogs in the machine so that they can produce more money. So here's what I'm proposing. Here's my think. What if we collectively, I want to start a conversation about this. What if we collectively decide that we're going to really become conscious of how we use the symbol of money, what we give it to, and why? So rather than investing in companies that don't have sustainable practices, rather than investing in the latest gadget that we don't actually want, really, but we're afraid if we don't have it that we're going to fall behind, or we're afraid if we don't have it, people are going to think less of us. What if instead we decide purposely and consciously to imbue the symbol of money with positivity, and we choose to start giving money to sources that nourish us, to sources that sing to our heart, to sources that offer us spiritual guidance, and shift this polarity? You know, I have this utopian ideal of a world that one day we won't have need for the symbol of money any longer, that everyone will be living in an abundant way that allows them to live from their heart, to live from their soul, to offer their gift, and that there is, because everyone is coming from this creative, loving, safe and secure place, you know, it's, we work as a community. It's, we joyfully pick up after ourselves. We joyfully offer our services to each other. We joyfully come together as a community and support a system that's in place that holds all of us and offers us all opportunity to be our creative selves. And I get it. I, oh my gosh, I get that this is a utopian ideal. And listen, we're not there. Even the people that do try to create these little like pods, these little like utopian circles of life in these remote areas, there's still the old school thinking that gets caught up in there. I mean, we're still working within a system that is lack-based, fear-based, I'll call it industrial revolution-based. But I think it's really time to start taking those strides and moving towards a spirituality-based, call it a spiritual revolution, a heart-centered revolution, where we start to invest the symbol of our money into things that feel life-affirming instead of life-taking. And it's just one step at a time. We don't have to do this like in enormous sums. We don't all have to move to some commune in the middle of nowhere and try amidst a very fear-based worldview, try to carve out a little bubble and have it completely utopian and separate from the reality of everything else that's going on around it. I mean, go for it if that's what makes your heart sing. But I think for most of us, we're kind of somewhere in this bridge place between these two worlds, the world that money is the root of all evil, more money, more problems, only greedy, terrible people have money. And, you know, a lot of those are based originally in kind of something truthful, because money wasn't put towards heartfelt use. Money wasn't a symbol created to share value in a nourishing, heartfelt way, in a life-affirming way, but rather in this scramble for more, because if I have it, then you don't. So there's this like dog eat dog rush to get my piece of the pie. And that's the charge, like call it a negative polarity that we've placed on money. And I think right now, one step at a time, we can really start choosing to be way more conscious about the charge we apply to the money that we have, because you only have stewardship over what comes into you. That's into your world through your hands. And you can choose by investing in things that make your heart sing, by investing in projects or people or companies or yourself. Oh my gosh, invest in yourself. Invest in in an education if that's what makes your heart sing. Invest in art supplies if that's what makes your heart sing. Invest, start really small. Invest in a free library membership and invest that time. Maybe you buy some books for the library and donate them if that's a cause that you believe in. But to start shifting the polarity of our money into something that is positive. And we only need to do this one step at a time. Like, it seems overwhelming when I paint in my mind this picture of this utopian society where we're all living our heart's purpose and we're all seeing ourselves as, you know, she is me and I am her. Like, that oneness, when you really get that at your core, it just makes sense. Like, the other day, my kids were, my son had an empty, like, case of pop, an empty case of pop, and it was downstairs where his PlayStation is and stuff, and he'd piled a couple empty cans of pop in it and some garbage, and I asked him to clean up his area, and he just grabbed the whole box, this whole case, and just threw the whole thing in the garbage. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, you've got two pop cans in there. So take those out, rinse them out, throw those in, recycle. You know, the cardboard box itself, break it down. That's recyclable. And there's a couple plastic bags that unfortunately there's nothing we can do with those. We'll just have to put them in the garbage. But it's like, it's your planet. Like, love her. You know, like, I'm not trying to be a nag. I'm not trying to make work. But when you see it from, oh, this is our planet and we're stewards of her and she nourishes us, it just starts to become a no-brainer to start making choices that are more in alignment with life affirmation. And in particular, when you really start to meditate on the idea that we are nourished by the earth and we nourish her in return, like, it's a symbiotic relationship and there really is no separation. Making choices about how you spend your money, the kind of footprint you make on the planet, the kind of impact you make on the planet, it starts to become more and more clear. And it is scary at first. Like, so recently, oh my gosh. So back to my money story. So I got separated in 2010 and I got back together and separated again. And there's all this complication. I'm not going to get into that part right now. But what I want to bring into the discussion is in 2013, So 2010, I accumulated a bunch of debt because I was on my own. I wasn't receiving child support. I really didn't allow, like, I didn't take any of the assets from my marriage. So I was like shirt on the back of my back, my two kids in tow, and I was working in real estate, which is an extremely up and down industry to begin with. And if your head's not in the game, you're dead in the water. You're not making any money. And where I was in conflict at this time was like, okay, well, I really want to make money, but I want to do it in a way that feels legitimately like I'm serving people in a way that's meaningful and important to them. I don't want it to feel like I'm screwing them or stealing from them, but I also have to take into account the value of my time and my knowledge and my need to also be supported. And so there was this really, this is 2010, there's this really interesting struggle like that I was having where my old belief system of I should put everybody first, that I should be the last to be fed, clothed, and sheltered, like that was really being challenged because I was realizing I wasn't able to care for my kids. I wasn't allowing in enough support from the universe to even feed and clothe them. Because of that, I was struggling with attracting business in my work. And I kept thinking, like, I have to get this right. I have to get this right. I have to have the exact right mindset or the universe is not going to support me. And I'm going to be left bereft, alone, starving under the, you know, in the streets with my two children. And I was so obsessed with getting it right, the correct mindset, and that I would otherwise be punished by the universe and not receive abundance, that I wound up creating this, like, really awkward situation where I was at once asking and completely repelling for support at the same time. And that was okay because I started to become aware that I was doing that and I didn't get it all right, but I was, it like started to crack the door open on receiving. And as a result of that, I started to change the way that I did business a little bit, but I still had a lot of hangups about that, but there was less and less and I was inviting in more support, but it was like support at a cost. It was like this trade-off support. And I wasn't allowing myself to get really open and really vulnerably okay with my desires and my wants. And so I was like, well, I'll accept this support, but it's going to come at the cost of not really being what I sincerely want. And I was really finding that even in my job. So fast forward to 2013, and I find myself on my own. So it's time to really make some shifts in my money story. I really am tired of shortchanging myself or believing like I needed to make trade-offs, and that in order to have money or support, I had to suffer for that in some fashion. And I got myself my own condo, and it wasn't just any condo. It was like the most beautiful condo I could find in town. Like, it was just, and it was like, oh my gosh, I thought the sky was going to fall down on my head, because like, how dare I ask for beautiful? How dare I ask for a place to nourish myself that said to me, I love you and you deserve to be surrounded by beautiful things, you know, like, how dare you? But you know, what's so interesting about that is I also had the busiest, most profitable quarter of my real estate business that same quarter. And I was able to get completely out of debt, utterly. I was totally out of debt, but then the well dried up and I had no more income coming in. No more deals down the pipeline. All the stuff that I was doing to reach out to bring in business wasn't producing anything. And I started dipping back into those lines of credit. I started dipping back into that debt in order to support myself. And in hindsight, I look at it now and I realize, oh my gosh, you know, that was a metaphor that I still had some more work to do on my money story, that I wasn't done opening to abundance, trusting that my real self and my real gift was adequate to be deserving of support. So I wound up, I mean, and not to say that I completely shut myself down, but believing that I could have a job that was free, believing that I could have a career that allowed me to serve on my own time and in a way that felt good, I wasn't quite okay with that yet. And I wound up leaving that industry again, the real estate industry, and getting a job at the local library. It was like the complete opposite. So no sales, because I wasn't sure about sales. I wasn't sure about money. I wasn't sure that it was okay to receive money for loving service. Like, I had all this hang up around, it's not okay to receive money for loving service. You should just do that for free. You know, you get paid to do work. You get paid to do what other people don't want to do. That's what you get paid for. You don't get paid to share your gift. You don't get paid to offer love and support. Those things should be free. So there's my hang up. This is 2014 at this point. Okay, guys, fall of 2014. So I give myself this gift, really, of some time off in a supportive environment, because when I was a little girl, the library was my safe place. And it was a 9-to-5 kind of job with just hourly wages. And it was this place to just rest, because my income was just enough, like literally to the penny, just enough to pay my minimum bills. So I wasn't going into debt anymore. I was actually managing to live in the black and make the minimum payment on my existing loan. So like very slowly chipping away at those loan payments, but I wasn't sliding backwards anymore. So it was an improvement. It's like I took this deep inhale and I got myself centered and I was like, okay, here I am. I'm crawling out of debt and it's time to just breathe. And I gave myself 18 months of just doing that big inhale and deciding if this was enough. Is it enough to just have just enough? And you know what? It isn't anymore, but it was. And I had to give myself permission to take that big inhale. And now it's time to step forward. And that's what I'm doing. And it is heart-centered. And it is about helping people tap into their own beauty. And that's why I'm saying, like, I took a bunch of money I didn't have, fearfully put myself back into debt so that I could support myself in bringing forth this jewel that lies within me, that is just dying to burst forth and serve other people and serve the divine channel. And that's really what I'm realizing. And this is what's going to come back to the money thing in just a second. We're here to serve. Like, we are here to serve the creative force. And within every one of us, there's some kind of way that it loves to manifest. It loves to be fully expressed, whether that's writing or speaking or running workshops or being a mom or a dad or volunteering in a shelter or something. But I think it's really important to start to say, look, I support these things. I support people that are looking to support the truth and something sustainable and that creative force that's channeled into something juicy and good, because it's supposed to be juicy and good. And each one of us is here to shine, to have a gift. And in order to help us all collectively move forward to that, I think we have to really start changing how we think about money and really start putting a positive polarity on those dollar bills and consciously choose to invest in people, places, things, businesses that support that. And that might include you. You may have within you some incredible, beautiful service that's just dying to be offered. Invest in yourself. Like, you deserve that. And invest in those support systems around you that support you towards that end. Like, if you go to church or you go to a meetup group that really offers you nourishment and support, give money to that. Like, that's you saying, I believe in this. I believe that we should support each other. I'm going to take this symbol of value, and I'm saying I value support. I value authentic expression. I value loving, caring, compassion. I value those things. I value sustainability. So take your symbol that's money, charge it with something positive, and go out and do something that shows what you actually value. And if that means taking yourself out and buying yourself a really nice coffee and just telling yourself you love yourself for the whole time that you're drinking that coffee, do it, because you are worth it. You're totally worth it. Each and every one of us is worth it. And it's just, it's time, even if it's just baby steps, one little step at a time like that, but start changing the polarity that you have associated with your money. Like, we've got 90 seconds left in the show, and if there's a single takeaway that I have for you, it's that. Like, decide that your money is your symbol for positivity and start applying it to the places that you believe in, that support you in a way that's real, that feels nourishing, that feels authentic. And if that's you, then invest it in yourself. You totally deserve it. And if it's somebody else, invest it in them, because they totally deserve it. And it's a supportive, co-creative, symbiotic, juicy thing. It's life-affirming instead of life-taking away. And it's part of that spiritual revolution as we evolve out of the industrial revolution. And I'm so excited, because I think that our earth-based, community-based, heart-based, soul-based revolution that we're stepping into one day will become that utopia. And in the meantime, enjoy yourself. Go buy yourself a coffee if that's what you want to do. Go buy yourself that new pair of socks that's so soft on your feet. And you know what? Raise a little hell. Have a little fun with yourself. Love you guys. Talk to you next week.